Grace, peace, and mercy from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning's meditation is taken from the first two verses of the lesson you just heard, and I shall briefly repeat them. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. So far the text. My beloved friends in Jesus Christ, this morning, on the basis of the text, I would like to have you and me consider the theme, Let Christ Attract Us. When we look at our text and consider the background of this text and many others very similar in the New Testament, you and I may very quickly choose sides. We may say, what in heaven's name was wrong with these Pharisees? They just simply didn't seem to understand who Jesus Christ was and what his mission was all about. And yet I wonder if we really frequently are so very much different. I wonder if we really, in spite of the fact that we have the clear recording, which may be an advantage to what the Pharisees didn't have, I don't know, really understand Jesus Christ much better. I really think in order for us to be attracted to Jesus Christ, we sometimes veer off in the other direction. And so, for one, I think we need to consider this morning that if we want to be attracted to Jesus Christ, and I know we do, we need to, first of all, perhaps get rid of, or at least significantly mitigate, our smugness. And that was also the problem with the Pharisees. They were smug. The smugness reveals itself in our life quite frequently, too. For one, in that we really, as future pastors, or even as students and professors here at the seminary today, are really quite socially acceptable in society. And that can make us smug. The Pharisees portrayed it frequently. They said, we're the sons of Abraham. And I wonder if I couldn't maybe paraphrase this and say, we're the sons of Luther. The smugness reveals itself also perhaps in other ways in our societal acceptance. You can go virtually into any town in this country and as a clergyman get clergy discounts. That is definitely an illustration of being societally acceptable. You will be addressed by titles of honor and the like. And in that sense, perhaps, we may frequently be derailed and portray a kind of smugness that characterized the Pharisees. And when that happens, we perhaps, like the Pharisees, are often no more attracted to Jesus Christ, in spite of our rhetoric, than they were. The smugness also reveals itself not only in our being socially acceptable, also in the fact that we are given to fault-finding. If an outsider were to come on this campus, I'm sure he would very quickly hear some common refrains like, but that's Reformed theology. Somewhat similar, like perhaps as the Pharisee said to Jesus, this man eats with sinners. That's not our theology. A second component to our theme, let Christ attract us, is let him not only attract us away from our smugness, but let him attract us to his group of despised sinners. That's what the Pharisees had such a hard time understanding. This man even eats with sinners. The Pharisees had that difficulty. And perhaps you and I have it in a different way. And yet you and I want to be, as Christians, attracted to that despicable, socially outcast group that seemed to that Jesus constantly seemed to attract. And if Jesus were here today, he would undoubtedly attract those same kinds of people. I really wonder if Jesus would first of all go to seminary campuses. I kind of think he would go down to the inner cities and attract the dope addict, which is what he basically did, and the prostitutes and the pimps and the alcoholics and the like. And we would say, well, this man Jesus has really again not got things right. You and I, however, also need to realize that the Pharisees saw sin perhaps in a dimension that sometimes would be beneficial for us to see. They saw a social dimension to it. And I think you and I in our day and age often don't see that social dimension. We simply see the psychological dimension only of sin. And so they would see this man eats with sinners. The outcasts, in other words. The outcasts, indeed, they saw themselves as outcasts. We don't need to look only at the poor publican standing in the temple, praying opposite to the Pharisee. But also, for example, the prostitute, as we read, for example, in Luke 7, who came and wept tears and one washed Jesus' feet with it. And again, this was a tremendous consternation to the Pharisees. The outcasts whom Jesus attracted, they knew they were sinners, both psychologically and socially. And it's to those that Jesus came, and it's to those people who even rejected themselves, yet had this particular characteristic about them, that they were attracted to Jesus. And so should you and I. Even though we don't share that lot of being socially outcast in our day and age, should still be attracted to him, because he has loved us and forgiven us just as much as he has forgiven those outcasts in his day. Perhaps it was easy for them to recognize who they were, and for us it's sometimes not so easy to recognize. And so you and I need to ask God's Holy Spirit to pray all more fervently that we would be constantly attracted to Jesus Christ, so that he would remind us forever and always that he came for us so that we might have life, might have it more abundantly. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, you and I may not often frequently be very heavily laden because of the societal acceptance and all the smugness that prevails in our society and which pulls us in like a centrifugal force. Yet you and I need to take stock of ourselves like this morning and be reminded Jesus attracted the sinners of his days, the outcasts. He also stands ready to attract us. May his gracious Spirit, who has told us this before, may remind us again and again of Christ who attracts us. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.